Crime and Punishment by Fyodor Dostoevsky. This is a psychological fiction set in mid-19th century St. Petersburg, Russia. The story features an impoverished, handsome, intelligent young student by the name of Raskolnikov, his sister Dunya, Svidrigailov, an abusive man, Dunya's former employer, Sonya, a prostitute, Razumihin, Raskolnikov's friend, and the inspector of police, Porfiry. Owing back rent on his cramped and squalid room, Raskolnikov quietly slipped past the landlady's door and exited the building. With sinking heart and nervous tremor, he counted the steps to Alyona, the pawnbroker's apartment. As a result of his destitute condition, Raskolnikov dreamed of committing the perfect crime, to rob and murder Alyona. Stepping inside the shop, he pawned his watch with her and carefully observed where she kept the keys and money. His plan would work. He knew it. Upon leaving the shop, however, his mind took a turn. "How loathsome it all is," he uttered. Can I possibly... No, it's rubbish. How can such atrocious things come into my head? Yes, filthy above all, loathsome." But soon he was able to convince himself that Alyona was a blight on society, while he, an extraordinary man, deserved more. Besides, he told himself, he would use the money to help others, and so his one tiny crime would be wiped out by thousands of good deeds. Perhaps some of the money could be used to help his sister Dunya. Earlier, he had received a letter from his mother telling him that his sister was engaged to Luzhin, who had offered to marry Dunya without a dowry. Raskolnikov was suspicious of the arrangement from the beginning. Surely Luzhin intended to gain control over her, in essence buying his sister like a common prostitute. The situation reminded him of his friend Sonya, who to support her family worked as a prostitute, selling herself to a man she did not love. Determined to follow through with his plan, Raskolnikov hurried to Alyona's flat. Once there, he watched nervously while the old woman fumbled with the package he had brought. Then, suddenly, he struck her repeatedly with the blunt end of an axe. After gathering all the money, keys, and trinkets he could find, he emerged from the bedroom to find Lizaveta, the woman's sister, staring in horror at Alyona's body. Rushing at her, Raskolnikov again raised his axe and opened her skull with its sharp edge. After wiping the blood from the axe and his hands, Raskolnikov returned to his room. It was there that weakness and fear gained more mastery over him, and he slunk into a corner, ashamed of his fear. After all, his theory of the extraordinary man condoned violence. When the police knocked at his door to collect on his back rent, Raskolnikov thought they had come to arrest him for the murder. For a moment, he contemplated confessing to the murders then and there. Instead, as he listened to the police discuss the gory details at the murder scene, he fainted, an act that surely would make him a prime suspect. Raskolnikov soon learned that two painters had been arrested for the killings. After hiding the stolen jewelry in the park, he returned to his room, where he remained for 4 days, feverish and deeply depressed. During this time, Raskolnikov received several visits from his friend Razumihin, as well as from the police and his family. When his mother, Dunya, and Dunya's fiancé, Luzhin, came to see him, he flew into a rage, bitterly denouncing Luzhin and refusing to approve the marriage of his sister to a beggar who sought complete control over her. Raskolnikov, for the most part, only wanted to be left alone, but he also felt a strong compulsion to return to the scene of the crime. Giving in to this urge, he met the painters there and told them he would confess all. On the way to the police station, however, he witnessed an accident in which Sonya's drunken father was run down and killed by a cart. Immediately, he lost his nerve. It wasn't until several days after the murders that Chief Inspector Porfiry began his investigation. He wanted to interview all of Alyona's clients. At the same time, Raskolnikov, who was plagued by nightmares, once more walked to the precinct headquarters to confess his guilt. Seeing the man's strangely tortured behavior, and hearing his theory that, for a man of lofty genius like himself, the end justified the means, Porfiry eyed Raskolnikov with great interest. The theory both intrigued and baffled the inspector, especially since Raskolnikov had secured an alibi for his whereabouts on the day of the murder. The next day, Svidrigaïlov, who had formerly employed Dunya as a governess, arrived in St. Petersburg to see Dunya. The man reported that his deceased wife had left him a 3,000-ruble inheritance, and he wanted Dunya to have it as a way to expiate his sins against her. Since in the interim Dunya had rejected Luzhin and turned her affections to Raskolnikov's friend Razumihin, Raskolnikov refused to permit Dunya to meet with Svidrigaïlov. Meanwhile, Raskolnikov visited Sonya's house to scold her for being a prostitute. Sonya, a devout girl, explained that she had only stooped to the profession to support her family after her father had wasted all their money on liquor. Raskolnikov, suddenly frightened by his own atheistic views and much impressed with Sonya's simple faith, now begged the sympathetic girl to read the biblical account of the raising of Lazarus. After she did so, he dropped to the ground, kissing her foot, and cried, "I did not bow to you. I bowed to all the suffering of humanity." Then, with eyes glittering as though he were mad, he said, "I've come to you. We are both accursed. Let us go our way together." Feeling a deep love for Sonya, and now seeing their friendship was cemented for all time, he promised to tell her who had killed the pawnbroker and her sister. Raskolnikov then proceeded to confess. Svidrigaïlov, however, who rented the adjoining room, heard everything, and he looked forward with interest to learning more. Now Raskolnikov, whose conscience increasingly tormented him, again met with Porfiry. The policeman intimated that he already knew Raskolnikov was the murderer, and he was about to surprise the student when they were interrupted by a painter who confessed to the murder. Over the next few days, Raskolnikov began to see Sonya as his savior, who would resurrect his dead soul by acting as his confessor. He went to Sonya's flat, and with Svidrigaïlov's ear again pressed to her door, admitted to the killings. When Sonya asked why he had done it, his theory of the extraordinary man failed him. Instantly, he understood that in killing the two women, he had destroyed himself. He keenly felt his guilt, for he had not murdered for money, nor to prove that he was superior to other men. Now it seemed as if everyone knew the truth about the murders: Sonya, Porfiry, and Svidrigaïlov. Porfiry again brought Raskolnikov to the station. The painter, he informed Raskolnikov, had made a false confession as a way to suffer and thus atone for his own sins. Conceding that he admired the young intellectual, Porfiry accused Raskolnikov of being the murderer and promised him a lesser sentence if he would plead insanity. He, being a patient man, would wait for Raskolnikov's complete confession. On his way home, Raskolnikov met Svidrigaïlov, who again told Raskolnikov that he desired his sister. Raskolnikov coldly warned him that he would kill him if he did not leave Dunya alone. Aware now that Svidrigaïlov had overheard his admission of guilt, Raskolnikov reminded Svidrigaïlov that he was capable of carrying out his threat. In the meantime, Svidrigaïlov managed to lure Dunya to his room. There he informed her that her brother was a murderer and offered to protect him in exchange for her love. Dunya, however, did not believe him. Infuriated by her refusal to see the truth and craving to have her, Svidrigaïlov tried to rape her. "It is very hard to prove assault," he laughed. Breaking away from his grasp, Dunya withdrew a revolver from her pocket and fired, grazing her attacker's head. Now convinced that Dunya would never return his love, Svidrigaïlov decided to give Sonya the 3,000 rubles instead. Then he went home, put the barrel of a revolver against his right temple, and pulled the trigger. Dunya confronted Raskolnikov about the murders. She had come to believe, she said, he was a contemptible person and ready to face suffering for his crime. Raskolnikov, however, denied his guilt. Instead, he retorted angrily, "Crime? What crime? I killed a vile, noxious insect, a pawnbroker." Eventually, Sonya, after pledging her undying devotion to him, managed to persuade him to turn himself in and begin to do penance for his sins. On his way to the police station, Raskolnikov, now at peace, dropped to his knees at a crossroads and kissed the earth. With bliss and rapture, finally he was carrying his own cross back to God. When passerbys mocked him, he almost lost his resolve. But seeing Sonya in the distance, her protective gaze giving him strength, he walked into the station and announced, It was I killed the old pawnbroker woman and her sister. Judged temporarily insane, Raskolnikov was sentenced to serve 8 years in a Siberian labor camp, indeed a light penalty for such a terrible crime. 2 months after the trial, Dunya and Razumihin were married. For her part, Sonya followed Raskolnikov to Siberia to support him and aid in his recovery, staying in a nearby village. In Raskolnikov's suffering, Sonya witnessed his gradual regeneration, his initiation into a new, unknown life. Dostoevsky's novel deals with two major themes, that of suffering for our sins, the kind of suffering that leads to confession and redemption, and the ideal of the extraordinary man. The work's main character, Raskolnikov, is a sensitive student who, driven by poverty and intellectual pride, believes he is above both moral and social laws. Torn between his extraordinary man theory and the mores that govern common men, Raskolnikov alternately shifts in personality back and forth between his intellect, compassion, and guilt. By suffering, he is ultimately punished and thus redeemed.